The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Wednesday, April the 10th. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Of course, I'm your host, founder, pastor, and voice of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero. We want to welcome everybody to the broadcast. If you're watching, you're listening, we welcome you. Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. You guys that are watching the visual, Rumble, YouTube, the main website, wherever it may be shared to you or you find us, we want to welcome you. Listen, if you're new, do us a favor. Let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. And I would love for everybody to take a real quick second and be sure to smash that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. It's going to help us push this material out on these algorithms so that others can have the privilege of hearing and listening and seeing our messages as well. Of course, guys, if you don't know, we do have a free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. Again, you can pick it up at your Play Store, depending on what that looks like for you. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away with every headline, every podcast, every breaking news, viewpoint. Everything's going to be right there at your fingertips. So, guys, listen, I got a lot to talk about today. If I had to subtitle this message today or this talking point, I would call it the eclipse is over, now what? And I want to preface this by saying this is why I'm talking about this today. Of course, the eclipse came and went this past Monday, and there was a lot of people out there. And I'm going to break these camps up, and I'm going to break these people up into two different camps. You have the unbelievers. These are individuals that they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They're not active church goers, probably, or attendees. They don't read their Bible. So these are the usual suspects of skepticism. These are the typical mockers and scoffers that we would expect to have in the when it comes to something like this. But then you have this other camp, who are professed believers, who these are the individuals who they mock and they scoff at any watchman or anyone who is sounding the alarm regarding the signs and the times in which we are in, warning a generation that if they don't repent and turn back to God, then there will be consequences to that. So again, I want to reiterate this, two camps of individuals. Now, we would expect persecution to come from the world. Now, what does that look like? That looks like, what that looks like is, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to let you know what's going on here. These atheists and agnostics and liberals, they fuel off of what we give them. Now, when I say we, I need to really clarify that. When I say we feed it to them, I'm talking about the date setters. I'm talking about the people who are the bloggers, the YouTubers, the social media people, the people that get on TikTok. They're the ones that they garnish the most views. They get the most attention. They get the spotlight put on them. And they're usually, when you read their content and you read what they're publishing, and what they're podcasting about a lot, and I'm not saying everybody does this, but I'm talking about this one particular group of individuals. They are the date setters where in which every single time there's a disaster, there's an event, there's something going on that catches the attention of the world. They will always tell you, they'll get up and they'll try to tell everybody, convince everybody through all kinds of persuasions that the coming of the Lord is on that particular date. The rapture of the church is coming on that particular event. And when it comes and goes, like it always has, all the way back when, I mean, this is nothing new, guys. This has been happening for centuries. Even during the early church fathers, you had heretics that would get out and they would proclaim dates and they would proclaim time, the day and hour in which the Lord would come, and it would come and go and they would miss it and they were deemed as false prophets. Then, I mean, you went all the way up to modern times. Even in 1988, you had one individual that wrote a book. He published a book called 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Return in 1988. It came and went. Nothing happened. And it, again, it caused a great reproach of the body of Christ. And watch this. This group, this camp of people that have no relationship with Jesus Christ, they feed off of this, and it gives them more ammunition to scrutinize the whole entire body of Christ. And they want to label everybody as lunatics, everybody as fanatics, and everybody as false prophets. Okay, then you had the Harold Camping thing that came and went. You had, I mean, these things have been going on and on and on. Again, nothing new for centuries. And it's like this every single year. You have, they'll surface in the spring and they'll go into hiding and come back out in the fall. And they're really predominant out in the fall seasons, right around on the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, all around there, the Day of Atonement. During these feasts, these people usually, and I call it the Jack in the Box syndrome. You know, the disasters and the calamities and these certain things are the hand that winds the box, and then they pop up out of the box. They give their prediction, and then it fails, and then they suppress themselves back into the box only for them to pop back up at another convenient, opportune time. Again, what is this doing? All this is doing is fueling the mainstream media, the news publications, the newspaper publications, the magazine publications, all of this stuff, where they write these articles that paints a broad brush across all of Christianity that we're all nut jobs, we're all tinfoil hat wearing conspiracists. And we expect that. That's nothing new. That's been going on forever. And even if we were to remove the false prophets from the equation, they keep date setting, because if you remove them and you go to the Bible and you just quote the words of Jesus Christ, you quote the words of the apostles, you quote the words of the prophets, they'll still label you as this. So there's no getting away from this. So I want to talk about today now, but I want to take a different angle at this. We expect this from the world, but it's pretty sad when watchmen who break down the Word of God, they show you from Scripture, show you from historical references, show you the patterns of history, the Bible, the Word of God, the parallels. They present all of these things and tell the body of Christ and those that which would give an ear to them that these are all harbingers and warnings to nations that continue in the path in which they're going, and they do not repent and turn back to the true and living God. Howbeit, this past Monday was a great example of this. This solar eclipse, again, I'm not backing down from this. This solar eclipse was not a sign from heaven that the rapture was going to happen on Monday, April 8th. That was never what that was about. It was never a sign that the Lord was coming back. The eclipse was an omen or a harbinger, being that it stretched across North America, forming, again, this is the second time since 2017, and it formed an X and everything else that was connected to it. It was absolutely a harbinger and a warning to America. Now, if there is a full solar eclipse over another nation, then it's a harbinger to that nation. So it's not just America. I know we got a lot of emails and we got messages saying, well, Brother Ricky, why is it only a warning to America? Because this one in specifically was to America because it came right across North America. But if there's a full solar eclipse in Africa or in Australia or in New Zealand or in China or anywhere else, then it's a warning to them. Just like blood moons. Blood moons that fall on Israel's feast days. The seven major feasts. When you see blood moons that are falling on these feast days, you need to be paying attention, because that is a harbinger to Israel. Not the world, Israel. It's a warning to Israel that things are about to be set in motion. Things are coming down the pike. And as we pointed out recently, there's not one, not two, not but three. In the next 3 years, there is three blood moons that are coming that are all going to be falling on the Feast of Purim. Again, and this is the timeline where it commemorates where in which God used a woman by the name of Esther to save the Jewish race from annihilation from the Persians, which today is Iran. And consequently, what's going on right now in the Middle East? Persia is right in the middle of it. The threats, everything, all that stuff is right there in the middle of it. So again, this is not just some happenstance. Genesis 1:14, God said, I place these luminaries, these signs in the heavens, or these things in the heavens as signs and seasons. Now I'm getting ready to get into some scripture here, but today I want to talk to all of the sons of Issachar. I want to talk to the watchmen. I want to talk to those that are sounding the alarm. Many of you guys are discouraged. You're tired, you're weary because of the persecution, the naysayers, the mockers and the scoffers. And I guarantee you, if I was to probably do a survey, in fact, hit me up in the YouTube chat if you're watching this on this broadcast. Let me know where most of the persecution is coming from. Is it coming from people that don't know the Lord, or is it coming from people who profess to be Christians? I would venture to say, from what I have observed, what I've heard, what I've seen in chat rooms and posts and the comments I've heard on what I've heard with my own ears from people who are in ministry and all this, most of the persecution that we're seeing now is coming from the professed Christians. They are attacking the watchmen. They're attacking ministries like us that are sounding the alarm. These are, I believe, Peter warned about these individuals. Now I want to go to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to show you something, but maybe from a different angle tonight or a different light. Beloved, this is 2 Peter chapter 3. Now remember who this is written to. Peter was writing this epistle to the church, not the world. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir you up in your minds by the way of reminder or remembrance. Verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles. So notice he says here, I want to stir you up in remembrance of what was said by the prophets and apostles. Okay, of the Lord and Savior. Look what he says here. Knowing, this is verse 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. And listen, this is their proclamation. This is what they're saying. Where's the promise of his coming? Now notice what they say. Where's the promise of his coming? Now read on what they say. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Notice now guys, I can prove to you today that this, what Peter is talking about here and who these individuals are that are doing the scoffing is not the world. This is not coming from sinners. This is not coming from unbelievers. I'm going to prove that to you. Ready? Look, I need you to pay attention and listen to me real carefully. These scoffers that will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and we're going to break all that down, they will say, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep. Now, notice they reference fathers. They're referencing the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Okay, number one. Number two proof is it says, and all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Hello, unbelievers do not believe in creation. They believe in evolution. So y'all see that? They acknowledge creation. They acknowledge a creator. They acknowledge the patriarchs, the fathers that went before us. But here's what they're saying. Where is the promise of his coming? For this, watch this, they willfully forget. It didn't say they accidentally forgot it. Guys, listen, I'm 47 years of age, and I'm a little bit different than a lot of you guys. I envy folks that can read 10 books and have a photographic memory and can recite pretty much 90% of everything they read. That I struggle with that. I have to read a book and then probably read the same book again to be able to consume or absorb all the information. It's just because I joke around about this, but it may be true. I have always self-diagnosed myself with adult ADD. I struggle. A lot of times my mind wanders. I'll try to read a book, but I'm thinking about 12 other things I've got to do. And I'm very easily distracted. I have to turn off the television, turn off the radio. I have to go in somewhere and just really focus and home in. I can have a television on in the background, this going on over here, that going on over here, and write out a whole sermon because I'll tune in and tune everything out. But I've got all these things going, and this is how my mind works. Okay? So as I've gotten older, there are things I've had to go back and restudy because, watch this, not because I willfully forgot those things, but because of old age, come on, and just that alone, I unintentionally forget things. But your Bible says that whoever these scoffers are, and I'm proving to you today that these are professed believers. Oh, but we're going to peel this onion, baby, and we're going to get deep on this, and I'm going to show you who these professed believers are so that you can identify who they are. These are individuals who willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water by which the world that then existed perished. That's the flood of Noah being flooded with water. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved at the time of the writing of this epistle by Peter, he's speaking of a future tense event. He said the earth is preserved by the same word, is reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So we've got a predicament here. How on earth can professed believers make such a statement? How can they be asking, where's the promise of his coming? Notice again that they acknowledged a promise of his coming. They didn't deny a promise of his coming. They acknowledged it. They just said, where is the promise of his coming? Again, guys, this is not unbelief. Unbelievers are not looking for the coming of the Lord. They don't know the promises of God. They don't know the promises of every eye shall see him and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They don't understand the scripture that says the heavens shall open and the Lord shall ascend out of heaven. Well, come on, Jude says he's coming with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon the ungodly. They don't know that he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This, my friend, is a letter warning believers that among our own circle, among our own people, among professed Christians, in the last days, as this thing begins to wrap up, the birth pangs intensify. The birth pangs increase. You see the increase of wars and rumors of wars, pestilences and famines and plagues and earthquakes and disasters and the waves and seas roaring and great and fearful sights from heaven, and men's hearts failing them for the fear of the expectation of the things coming upon the earth. He says, as we near the closing of the end of the age, and the rapture of the church, you better know that you better know. And he says this, know this first, not second, not third, first, that scoffers are coming, baby. They're here. They're out there. They're all over the place. And here's something I want to point out that is very interesting to me. And that is the fact that Peter indicates that this group of professed Christians, these believers, who they know the word, they know that there's a promise of the coming of the Lord, they know about creation, but there's two things that really stick out to me. One is they willfully forget these things, and two, according to Peter, they are walking according to their own lust. Now, by definition, scoffing or scoffers is one who mocks, ridicules, or scorns the belief of another. Let me say that again. By just sheer definition, the word mock or mocking is an individual who mocks, ridicules, or scorns the belief of another. Kind of like when the watchmen have been exerting a lot of their time and energy and effort into warning the body of Christ and our nation that this solar eclipse is not just an ordinary event. Yes, solar eclipses happen. I'm going to clarify that. Yes, NASA has a system which they have a trajectory that they can show you and pull it up, and you can look and see that you can time out, and you can see all the solar eclipses all the way to the year 3000. But that does not take away, guys, Genesis 1:14, that these things are placed in the heavens as signs and seasons. The timing of this is impeccable. All of the events that are centered around this, When all these millions of people flocked to all these cities in America and they were having, I was watching on the news, I turned on several news programs when this was happening and they were all celebrating and people were cheering it on and it was like a jubilation. It was like a celebration, but I was grieved. I was grieved because I know what this means. And my goodness, I thought of the time of Jeremiah when Josephus, in his writings, he talked about this. Josephus was an historian. He was alive during the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem by the Romans in 70 AD. And he recorded in his book called The Antiquities of the Jews, in his writings, he talked about there was all of these supernatural signs that took place. There were supernatural signs that took place in the temple in Jerusalem where the doors would open and close on their own accord. There was a supernatural light coming from inside the temple. There was chariots of fire that was seen above the skies and above the heavens over Jerusalem. There was a great comet that was seen, and it was in the shape of a sword or a meteor shower I believe it was a comet that was seen for over a year prior to the destruction of the temple. And the prophets of that day were all sounding the alarm, hello, and warning the people that these were signs that God was about to bring judgment because of the sins and the iniquities and the abominations of the nation of Israel. And instead of them hearkening unto the voice of the prophets and the watchmen, they were in jubilation. They were in celebration. They looked at these things not as harbingers, but they actually believed. They listened to the voice of the false prophets of their day who told them that these were great signs of God's favor upon the nation. Now, do you know how many? I was shocked to see all kinds of Christian publications, and I'm not going to name them, they're out there, written publications, and even on Christian television, where so-called prophets got up, and they, when they were asked about what could this mean for America, the solar eclipse, and they gave this interpretation that was completely not of the Spirit of God. It was not in agreement with historical accuracy of these events and the things that transpired over them. And they actually got out and they sued the people. They tickled the ears of the people and told them it was a sign of greatness. It was a sign from God, from heaven, that he is looking upon his people and he has favor with the nation of America. And I just laughed and cringed. And you know what's really sad is that, watch this, the people that will eat that up are going to be the same individuals that are walking according to their own lust, who willfully forget that God judged this earth by flood and is preserving it for fire in the end. Oh, you, is this too hard of preaching for you? Or do you need to leave this ministry and go get your ears tickled on Christian television or on some quote unquote prophetic publication that is constantly promoting false prophets? So as a result of this, these individuals, not the world, but this camp over here, they're the ones that I'm seeing that consistently mock, ridicule, and scorn any warning that we put out there. Now, let me go back to this. I'm going back to 2 Peter. Peter says, these are individuals walking according to their own lust. Keep that in mind. Now, I want to show you, I'm going to go over to the book of Jude. This is the last book before the book of Revelation. And Jude says, Jude quotes Enoch, who prophesied that the Lord is coming back with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convict all who are ungodly among them all of their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now look at verse 16. I'm in Jude 1, 16. These are grumblers, complainers. What does it say right here? Walking according to their own lust. Look what he says. They mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Again, guys, these individuals, they don't want the Lord to come back. Many of these individuals, now you look up the word lust, L-U-S-T-S, you look up the word lust, and it has heavy connotation to sexual immorality. Now, why do you think, guys, you're seeing almost on a weekly or monthly basis, you're seeing bishops, pastors, leaders, evangelists, whatever it is, that are all being exposed, and this has happened, and I'm talking about, and we're not talking about the world here, we're not talking about the P. Diddy's, and we're not talking about the Epsteins, I'm talking about in the church. These leaders are being exposed for sexual immorality. They're committing adultery with members of the church. They're having affairs. They're living double lives. I could tell you, listen, guys, I could tell you stories personally that I know of churches that would break your heart to know that there is things that goes on behind the scenes that there's no repentance of. They're not living sanctified. They're not living set apart. They're actively pursuing lifestyles that God calls abominable. And the word of God says they profess to know me, but in their works, they're abominable. All right, now I need you to really pay attention because I'm going to reveal to you a major clue on how you can identify these people. All right, we've brought out a lot of good stuff. Remember, they willfully forget. They willfully forget God's word. They're walking according to their own lust. But look at this. Now let's go to let's go back to the book of Jude. I'm going to pull this up. All right, we're going to go back now. I really need you to pay attention to this part. We're going to go back to the book of Jude. Again, one chapter. We're going to go down right where we left off. Remember, it says here, we're going to scroll down right here, verse 16. Remember, we said that they're walking according to their own lust. They have a mouth of great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But now look what he says in verse 17. Now he's speaking to the church. Look what Jude says. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time. Now, some translations say there will be mockers in the last days. There does no harm to the scriptures here. There will be, the apostles told you there would be mockers come in the last day. Watch this. Who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. Jude is literally repeating what Peter said. But now watch this. But Jude gives us a bombshell. Ready? These are sensual persons who cause divisions. Look at this. Not having the Spirit. Wow. Wow. Okay. Now tell me this ain't a bombshell here. They're going to willfully forget the word of God. They're walking according to their own ungodly lusts. They're sensual, meaning they're fleshly and they're carnal. There's no distinction between these individuals and the world. They drink like the world. They smoke like the world. They do drugs like the world. They act like the world. They talk like the world. They fornicate like the world. They commit adultery like the world. There is no separation. But yet they profess to be Christians. They'll talk Christianese. They'll go to church on Sunday. They've got a real shiny, thick, expository Bible. It's never written in, never highlighted because they never open up and actually read it, but they just take it for their religious appearance. They have a form of godliness. But watch this. Jude says, these are carnal, sensual individuals, and they're mocking. They're mocking true believers. They're mocking separated believers. They're mocking the sanctified, the holy, those that are trying to live for God and try to be sold out to God. They're mocking the modern day watchmen. They're mocking those who are warning of the disasters, the calamities, the judgment of God. They're mocking us. Ha ha ha. Look at these people. Look at these nut jobs telling everybody to repent. Telling everybody that God's going to judge them when God loves us all and he would never do that. But it's interesting here. Because Jude, I believe the bombshell to all of this is written in verse 19. When he says they will cause divisions because they don't have the Spirit. Now, in case you don't understand what I'm talking about here, I am telling you these are individuals that have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost. There is a distinction between individuals who have been and have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've seen it all my life. Guys, I was saved for a length of period. But I was not bad. Now, we're not talking about salvation here, okay? So don't get all fired up and worked up, mad and angry and check out on me. We're not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about individuals who have never been baptized in the Holy Ghost and who have. I'm talking about Acts 19. I'm talking about this is a great example of this. When Apollos was at Corinth, there was Paul having passed through the upper regions and he came to the city of Ephesus. And finding some disciples there, he asked them a question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? These were not unbelievers. He said they were disciples. And he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, we have not even as much as heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said it to them, in what were you baptized? And he said, in John's baptism. Remember, he preached a baptism of repentance. And then the Bible says that they were to believe on Jesus Christ and be baptized in Jesus' name. They laid hands on them. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. I'm talking about the Acts chapter 2 endowment of power. Listen, I have served the Lord for 24 years and I can tell you it never fails. Most of the people that cause division, strife, and discord and mock and scoff when you interview them and you start peeling back the layers, you will discover that they have never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And many times these are the same individuals that will attack the Holy Spirit. They will attack anyone who believes in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They'll attack anyone who teaches on it. They'll attack anyone who believes that they have received it or experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm just trying to tell you that Peter and Jude gives us clues that there's coming a group of individuals in the last days who are professed Christians who have a form of godliness, Paul said, but they'll deny the power of the Holy Ghost. Jude said they're going to be mockers, walking in the last days, walking according to their ungodly lusts. They'll be sensual, fleshly, carnal people who look nothing, no different, no separation at all from the world. You couldn't even tell that they were Christians because they'll look just like the world because they'll profess Christianity, but they will live no life that reflects Christianity. They will constantly cause division, strife, discord, and mocking, and they have not the Spirit of God working in their life. So listen, so the solar eclipse came and nothing happened. So what? Big deal. Do you realize that in Noah's generation, Noah preached 120 years that a judgment was coming, and it came after 120 years of warning perpetual generations that a flood was coming. I say perpetual generations in our vernacular because a typical generation is about 40 years, somewhere around there. So that's about four generations. But back then they lived a lot longer. So you consider that one whole full generation. So however you want to interpret that, the point is in our years of our calendar, according to the book of Jasher, which is Jewish history, Noah preached roughly 120 years and then the judgment of God came. In Lot's day, the angels of God showed up, Genesis 19, warned him. Judgment is coming. God gave the cities of the plains 24 hours to prepare for the judgment of God. In Nineveh's day, Nineveh showed up to, Jonah showed up to Nineveh in Jonah's day. I want to correct that. In Jonah's day, he showed up to Nineveh and preach 40 days of repentance. Said, if you don't repent in 40 days, there's coming a judgment. And by the way, historical evidence proves that there was a solar eclipse that was in the skies in over Nineveh when Jonah showed up and preached to them, turn back to the living God or judgment's coming. Nothing happened that day. Noah said a flood's coming. It didn't happen that day. It didn't happen in Lot's day in that same hour. It was 24 hours later. Nineveh was, again, 120 years from Jonah, 24 hours for Lot, 40 years for Nineveh. Jesus warned in his time of his earthly ministry, he warned an entire generation between 30 and 33 AD that the stones of the temple would be toppled upon one another and judgment would come. He warned Capernaum. He warned Bethsaida, and he warned Chorazin, these three cities, that judgment was coming. And then a generation later, in 70 AD, the Roman legion invaded Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, burned it down, took Jews captive, just like he warned was going to happen. These are only a few examples of how God is long-suffering and wills that none perish, but all come to repentance. Now, look, I'm going to shift gears. I'm going to show you something else here in the Word of God. I wish that I could tell you that as things progress in the last days, that men's hearts would soften and they would open themselves to the Lord. But when I read the book of Revelation, which is right dab in the middle of the Great Tribulation, I'm not getting that vibe. In fact, let me take you through it and show you what I'm talking about. For example, in Revelation 16, there is a fourth angel that pours out his bowl upon the sun, and men will be scorched with great heat. And your Bible says they will blaspheme the name of God who has power over these plagues. So think about it, church, right? God is allowing this judgment. The wrath of God is being poured out. And it doesn't say that men are repenting. It says they are blaspheming the God of heaven. It says they're gnawing their tongues because of the pain. Then we go to Revelation 16. You start at verse 17. Then there's another bowl that's opened by the seventh angel. And in it, the Bible says in verse 21 that great hail will fall from heaven. And listen, before that, there's just... this giant earthquake that takes place. Every island is moved out of its place. Mountains fall into the sea. The wrath of God is being poured out. And you would think, again, that men would repent. But it says in Revelation 16:21, great hail falls from heaven upon men. 100-pound hailstones are falling upon men. And it says that they blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail. So as you read on, you'll discover that this is the general consensus that we're finding in the tribulation. As God is, as they're enduring the wrath of Satan and the wrath of God, men have hardened their hearts so much so that even in the midst of all this, they're not repenting to God. They're shaking their fists at the God of heaven and cursing and blaspheming God. Now, we know according to Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, when all this stuff starts really picking up intensity, and it is, look around you guys, even, you know it's picking up intensity when the mainstream media is talking about this, talk shows are talking about this. People are, listen, they know something's going on, but a lot of these people are just ignorant. They don't know the Bible. They don't know the word of God. They've never given their heart to Christ. That's the importance of us, come on, giving them the gospel. But then again, like I said, there's another group of individuals who call themselves Christian and they willfully forget. They willfully forget. Let me go back. I'm going to go back to this Matthew 24, but I want to make this, I want to make this point here real quick. Remember, according to 2 Peter, they willfully forget. They willfully forget what? Let's remember this. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth stood out of water and in the water by which the world that then existed perished being flooded with water. They willfully forget that God brought a judgment upon the world. And they willfully forget that God will once again bring judgment again. But sadly, pulpits across America are cradling their sheep to sleep, giving them sermonettes and messages that never speak about this, that never warn about this. What? Listen, I had someone message me. A friend of mine messaged me on Facebook and told me that her pastor stood up behind the pulpit, told the whole congregation that this recent eclipse didn't mean anything, and that whoever is quote unquote reading into it might as well read their horoscope. Wow, I was so shocked by that, but I wasn't shocked by that. I'm not surprised by that because this is the consensus of most pastors and most pulpits in America. They're completely ignorant, and you're just completely ignoring Genesis 1:14, Luke 21, Mark 13, Matthew 24. You're completely ignoring that. When Jesus himself said, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. There will be great and fearful sights from heaven. So again, when you, and you know what she, and she went on to say what was really said about it was there was a roar that came from the church of people applauding it and cheering on. Yeah. So these will be the mockers in the last days because it's a supply and demand. There's a demand for leadership to tickle their ears and they feed into this. So then that gives them boldness to get on social media and all these things and begin to attack, mock and scoff watchmen like myself and other ministries that are warning people of the times and seasons which we're in. But again, don't miss my point. And they willfully forget. You try to bring them the scriptures. You show them the days of Noah. Jesus said in Luke 17, as it were in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. It's amazing. They willfully forget that the earth was destroyed by flood. They willfully forget that the cities of the plains were destroyed by fire. And it's amazing to me because one of the apostles said in his writings that if you look at the cities of the plains, they were written for our examples that if we follow in the way in which they go, we will reap the same results. But they willfully forget these things. And I want to bring out one last point. Here's another sad thing I want to show you here is how, have you ever wondered how do these individuals get to a point where they say, where is the promise of his coming? It's one thing, guys, it's one thing to debate a solar eclipse and what it means. It's one thing to debate an earthquake and whatever and determine, you know, what is this? Could this be a sign? Whatever. It's one thing to debate all that stuff. It's a whole other different thing to be a professed Christian and actually say, where is the promise of his coming? Can you imagine? How do we get to that point? Well, I want to remind you in, now I want to go back to this. In Matthew 24, Jesus said, when they sat down with him at the Mount of Olives and they came to him privately and said, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Two different things here. Jesus answered and said, take heed no one deceives you. He talks about deception, false prophets, wars, rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. All these things must come to pass. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes, various places. All these are the quote unquote beginning of sorrows. Now, again, we're in the, that is all in the, what is the sign of your coming? And then you go into the end of the age. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended. They will betray one another and will hate one another. Look what it says. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And my friends, what that tells me is the worse it gets, the more intense the birth pangs become, the more colder that many are going to become, the more callous, the more cold, and they will get to a point where they willfully forget the promises of God. And I pray to God that none of us ever get to that point. I pray that we do not allow ourselves to allow all these things that are happening to get us to a point where we begin to willfully forget the word of God, where we become sensual and we begin to live a lifestyle, listen to me, that is risky. I don't want to take that chance. And if I start seeing myself slip away, I need to repent. Because again, it's profound, guys. In the days of Noah, we already know, guys, they mocked and they scoffed. They mocked and scoffed Noah 120 years. We know in Genesis 19, when Lot went to his sons-in-laws and warned them that judgment was coming and to get up and get out of the city, they thought he was joking. Read it. It's in Genesis 19. Did you know in Psalms chapter 1, it tells us that we as believers are not to sit in the seat of the scornful. You go look up scornful, and it comes from the same root word is mockers. If you're a believer and you're sitting with another believer who calls himself a Christian and they're mocking you because you're trying to warn them of what's coming, friends, you need to get up and you need to move on. You need to find another friend. That's not my words. That's Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor does he sit in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And I looked up the word scornful, and it's one who mocks and ridicules. I'm going to leave you with this final thought, okay? And then we're going to do a quick prayer, and we're going to let you go today. 1 John 3, 2 and 3, Beloved, now we are the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be likened to him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he does appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So listen, I came by today to equip you and to encourage you, every watchman, every voice out there that's continued to warn your family, warning your friends, warning other believers, warning your neighbors, whoever you're warning, you've been sounding the alarm, but maybe you've become discouraged. Maybe you're weary. Maybe you're tired. Why? Because you have been faced with an onslaught of mockers and scoffers. Friend, I come by to tell you and stir you up in the way of remembrance and to remind you that both Jude and Peter told us that in the last days, these individuals would come on the scene and they would increase and they would be more militant about it. And they would mock and ridicule our message, which is repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So I want to encourage you today to not throw in the towel. Don't back down. Don't give up. Don't be silent. Come on, but raise your voice and continue to preach that repentance is here. Repentance is needed. And come on, preach what the early church preach, and that is repent and turn from this perverse and wicked generation. Come on and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have delivered your word today without reserve and without a shame, or with no shame of delivering it. I pray according to Isaiah that it will not return void, but it will go forth and it will prosper in that which it's sent forth to do. I pray, Lord, if there be anybody listening today that they've become discouraged, they've become weary, they're tired because of the onslaught of mockers and scoffers and unbelievers and the persecution that's risen against them because of their message of warning, their message of repentance. I pray they shake it off today. Just like the Apostle Paul shook off the viper in the fire, he shook it off. He didn't let it deter him. He didn't let it stop him, but he pursued and he kept pressing on and he kept pressing on and he fulfilled his call and his purpose. Today, I thank you, Father, that we're just shaking off the mockers. We're shaking off the scoffers today. We're going to keep sounding the alarm. We're going to keep preaching repentance, and we're going to keep doing the work of the kingdom. And today I pray it in Jesus' name, Con. And everybody said, amen and amen. Listen, guys, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Please bookmark our website. Please download a free app today. Again, it's available on Apple and Android devices. All you got to do is hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away and good to go. Guys, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you, all of the above, we want to give you an opportunity right now to partner with us. You pray about it. What would the Lord have you to do? What's your relationship with this ministry? Some of you, this is your home church. We just ask that you be obedient to the Lord and give as he purposes in your heart. You can do that two different ways. You can give right there on your screen electronically through the app or through the main website, or you can give by check or money order, and you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Guys, I want to let you know that tomorrow we plan on I will be on, it's the second week of the month. That means I'll be on with Bishop Larry Ragland on the big picture, the Kingdom Intelligence Report, excuse me. Again, it'll be 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. So be looking for that. I'm excited about that. As always, it's always good to get with my friend, Bishop Larry Ragland. I don't really know what we're going to be talking about yet, but I know it'll always be a great program. Whenever we get together, we just kind of go off one another and we flow into whatever the Lord would put on our heart. So be sure to check that out again Thursday night, April 11th, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. And then, of course, we'll be right back here on Friday, which is the 12th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we'll close out this week of podcasts. So I hope everyone has had a blessed, great weekend. We're going to sign off for tonight, but we plan on, Lord willing, to see you guys tomorrow, same time, same channel, same place. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may keep you, may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.